I'm going to speak tonight on this subject. Let us arise and build. Let us arise and build. 12 years ago, next month, I visited First Baptist Church for the very first time. Preached over in the building that burned for the very first time. Now, apart from soul winning, there have been two great burdens that I've had. Anybody here tonight who knows anything about this church knows that for 12 years there have been two great burdens that I've carried. One burden that I've carried for these years has been your kids. We've seen a generation now grow up. It's hard to believe. Yesterday morning on the radio broadcast, Brian Gomez was testifying, the son of Mr. and Mrs. Al Gomez. I said, "Brian, how old are you?" And he said, 13. That means Brian was a one-year-old baby when I became pastor of this church. June 19, 1959, I came to visit, preached my first sermon, just as a guest. And honestly and sincerely, I've carried a burden for your kids. I was thinking tonight, looking out here on the front, there's a little girl on the front down here who's not been writing me some notes lately, telling me that she likes me very much. I like her very much, too. It won't be long. She'll be grown. All the plans, and I want you tonight to hinge on every word I say, all the plans and dreams of that little girl and other little girls like her are coming to fruition now. But the future, the immediate future of our church. Won't it be a wonderful thing, for example, to have, and I believe we'll have this within 10 years, have an elementary school almost within walking distance of your house, a Christian elementary school. We plan to have within 10 years, 10 elementary schools scattered all over the Calumet, South of Chicago area, you know, over in Illinois, where you heathen folks live. We plan to have elementary schools set up all over the country, this part of the country here. Now, to me, that's exciting. I saw tonight a little lady walk out. She's expecting a baby. If not, she needs to go on a low-calorie diet. But I saw a cartoon the other day in the paper. This hippie went to the doctor and was real fat. And the doctor said, "If you're a female, you're expecting. If you're a male, you're overweight." But one of our ladies walked out a while ago, and I got thinking as she came back in. She went out to get a pickle. And I got thinking as she came back in. She has her body tonight, a little baby that will grow up in our church. And the plans and dreams and hopes that we have for the next few years determine the future of that little unborn baby. Tonight, here's what I want to do. I want you to listen to every word I say. I want to say that none of us could do a single thing, make a single mistake, say a single word, that should jeopardize the future of our children. You know, when the devil, now by the way, I'm not alarmed tonight about anything. I'd rather be a prophet than a lamenter. I'd rather foresee than lament. And with all my heart, I work to foresee potential problems rather than trying to solve present problems. And most of my preaching here is, by the way, I'm a grizzled old veteran. I've been here a long time now preaching. I've been preaching. This is my 26th year of preaching. And I know that there's not a preacher in this country that counseled with more preachers that have problems than I do. Every week of my life, by letter, by telephone, by personal conversation, these men know this is true on the platform. They know it's true. preachers call me, write me, and come and talk to me and say, Dr. Hiles, help me in this church problem. I know something about what happens. And I know this about the devil. I know that the devil does not want 10 Christian elementary schools in this area. I know that. And I know the devil does not want the Hammond Baptist High School to prosper. I know that. The devil wants to kill that school. I know. Anytime a church gets up and says, we're going to do this, and this, and this, and this, you mark it down. In the next year, the devil is going to try everything he can to block what our church is planning to do. Let me tell you a story. I know where I don't know what I'm going to preach, chat, fuss, gripe, cry, talk, but I'm just sort of going to just sort of deliver my soul rather than my message tonight. The Jews had been in captivity for 70 years. Some had escaped and gone back to Jerusalem. One was named Hanani or Hanani. They called it Hanani. But the accent is on the second syllable, Hanani, not better. But Hanani came back to Babylon, where Nehemiah and most of the Jews, many of the Jews, were in captivity still. And Nehemiah said, or asked him, how are things back home? Not anybody do that. How are things back home? How are things in Jerusalem? And Hanani said, not so good. Nehemiah said, what do you mean? Hanani said, the walls are all down. The gates have been burned. Not so good. It broke the heart of Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, I'm going to go alone. He went alone. He fasted. He prayed. And after that, Nehemiah went to talk to the king. For Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. What the cupbearer was? The guy that brought him juice when he wanted to drink some juice. They called it wine, but it may or may not have been fermented, because wine was fruit of the vine or grape juice, whether fermented or not. And in fact, I had some wine just before I came in. Let me explain. Everybody wake up. Don't anybody leave me now. I have a juicer in my office, and I put some grapes in that juicer just before I walked in tonight at the 6 o'clock meeting, and I juiced me some grapes and drank juice straight from the grape. Now, that was wine. Now, please, don't get the rumor out that Brother Hiles drinks wine. That's just what I need. But now, I don't drink what's called wine today, but I had some grape juice just from the vine and just from the grape tonight. But anyway, he was the cupbearer for the king. Well, he had just heard that back home things weren't going so well. So he came to the king and brought him his refreshment. And the king said, Nehemiah, you don't look happy. The Bible said that that's the first time, and I like this, it's the first time that Nehemiah had ever come before the king said. Isn't that great? You know, that's one thing I like about this church. It doesn't matter what kind of burdens we've got. We just sort of leave them outside and we come in and just live it up while we're here, don't we? You don't know. Dr. Billings came the other day to me, and he wouldn't have been there. He's just heartbroken, really. His eyes were filled with tears, and this is true. I'm not kidding him now. This is true. And he said, preacher, he said, I'm going out of town to Colorado. But he said, I've just got a heavy heart. And he quivered his lips, and his eyes were filled with tears. And he said, I just needed some encouragement. I just had to discipline some students, and it wasn't easy. You know, that's the kind of principal I like, the kind that cries while he spanks, the kind whose heart's broken. And he said, some people don't understand. And he said, it was hard to do. But isn't it good that he leaves his burdens and outside in the hall and comes in and insults all of us from the pulpit. Now, and Nehemiah had never come to the king. Never one time come to the king sad before. But now his heart's broken. And he comes and he says to the king, he said, here's your refreshment. The king said, what are you sad about? And Nehemiah said, I'll tell you why I'm sad. I just got word from home. The walls are down. The gates have been burned. He said, I want to go back home. He said, Your Highness, would you let me have some time off? I want to go back to Jerusalem. And I want to see the ruined city. I want you to send me, if you would. Let me go back and do something about it. Now listen. The king granted mercy.
He gave Nehemiah some letters and said, as you go from place to place, here's a letter from me, and it'll give you a free passage from place to place, and go back to Jerusalem, take the time you need, and rebuild the wall and the gates.
Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem. Now, this is one of the, to me, one of the most impressive and solemn things in the Bible.
Are you listening?
Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem, 500 miles or so. And he stays 3 days before he sees the condition, but he gets up at night. Late at night, and many of us can see what he saw because the old city is so much like it was then. And so Nehemiah gets up late at night and just takes a few people and he goes and he views the walls. His heart breaks as he sees the walls, stately walls of Jerusalem, the city of peace, the beloved city. Now the walls are down and he looks at the gates, beautiful gates, and all the Jews love the gates around the old city. And he sees the gates are burned and Nehemiah's heart is broken. And so Nehemiah says, gather some folks together, and he challenges the Jews. He says, let's rebuild these walls. Boy, they get excited about it. And he says, let's rebuild these gates. And excitement and optimism sweeps over the crowd because the man of God has come, and the people of God have found the leader. Let's go forward and build the walls.
But now, wait a minute.
The devil didn't like that. Now, the devil didn't cause one bit of trouble until the walls started being built. There were two fellows, the enemies of God's people. One was named Sanballat. Don't forget that name, Sanballat. The other was named Tobiah. Don't forget it. Sanballat, Tobiah. These men set themselves to see to it the wall would not get built. Ladies and gentlemen, here's one thing that really, really concerns me. That is this. Anything worthwhile that's born is born in travail. You don't have babies without travail. Are you going to have a baby? I never had one, but I've seen folks that have. Are you going to have a baby? And it takes some suffering. You get fat. You can't lie down. It's like a pyramid if you do. And you can't walk. You can't stand up, you can't sit down, you can't lie down. Other than that, you're comfortable all the time. And then you're hard to get along with. Even harder than usual. And you can't figure yourself out. All of a sudden, there's a little thud, 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 thud. And then you lose your breakfast every morning. And you don't want any. Then you lose what you lose. You have the dry heat. you do what you'd have done if you'd had something to lose anyhow. And you don't feel good. And then the hours of travail come. I don't care what it is. Anything that's born is born in travail. This church was born in travail. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know the lonely hours this preacher spent 11 years ago. And others of you had to travail too. Anything that's worthwhile, somebody has to suffer. Somebody has to travail. And if God gives us a great school, and many schools. And I believe, in fact, I have no doubt that in September of 1972, we'll open the doors to a new college, training preachers and young people, and training bus workers, and training school teachers for Christian service. I believe that God wants us to arise and build, but if we do, you mark it down. Sanballat and Tobias lurk in the shadows. Always do. Always do. I was thinking a while ago. Fun, isn't it? We have a good time, don't we? But you recall some of you 11 years ago now? Huh? You remember the nights we cried and the times we suffered together? Remember the burdens and the time we thought we couldn't meet the budget and had to get together and revamp the budget and trim the budget a little bit because of the trials and burdens? First Baptist Church in Hammond, all of its fun, all of its gaiety, all of its power, all of its converts, all the victory, all the laughter, all the amens, all the happy music, all the fun, all the satire, all the kidding, all of it. All that was bathed in the tears and sacrifice of God's people a long time ago. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now we come to, all of a sudden we're going to have quadruplets or quintuplets or sextuplets or whatever they call them. We're going to have a lot of things born at one time. The little imps of hell look up and say, First Baptist Church is launching a program like it's never seen before. And the devil says, go to your job, Sanballat. Do your job, Tobiah. Get after that church. Do what you can to destroy it. You know why? He wants this little girl down here. Now, tonight, I'd like to pledge myself to do or say nothing or be nothing that would cause these little girls on the front to have anything less, be anything less than what God wants them to be. And for America, by the way, the other burden I've carried is for America for these 12 years. I've wept over America. For some reason or other, I can't go to a big city where there's no great church without lying awake at night. I was in Portland, Oregon the other night, and I cried and I cried and I cried. Here's the great northwest portion of our country. No church aflame for God. No great soul-winning church. No pattern church. Nobody doing much. And I said, oh my God, while I'm here, let me get some preachers on fire for God. Somebody has got to save this nation. Let me say this. For one of us to do something that would hurt the work of God would be worse than most any other person doing it in any other church in America. Because we hold not only the future of this church in our hands and in our tongues, we hold the future of the whole country. Did you know to whom much is given, much is expected? And did you know that when God gives someone the privilege, oh, we say, what a privilege! Thank God I'm rearing my family here! Yeah, but along with that, the bigger the privilege, the greater the responsibility. And the worse the sin, if that sin blocks the progress. And so I look out in the future. I have not seen Sanballat and Tobiah lately, but I know they're there. And I know as sure as we start to build, I know that they'll lurk in the shadows and do what they can to destroy, as emissaries of hell, to destroy, not to destroy, but to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Say, if you have a child in the Hammond Baptist High School, most of you that have children there will vouch for this. It has transformed the lives of many of our boys and girls. Somebody said the other day, said Linda Hiles, absolutely, you can see her grow. I mean, you can see her spiritual growth. Now, somebody said that to me, that the school has done so much for Linda and others too. I could look over here tonight and all of this building and point to kids and who've been to our high school, really, in some ways, troublemakers a year ago. Teachers came to me and said, Brother Hiles, Sunday school teachers, and said, Brother Hiles, what can I do with so-and-so? And now, in many cases, that same girl, that same boy, is among the most gracious and charming and spiritual of our kids. That's why I say be careful, because when you start to build the walls around the city, Sanballat and Tobias are frequently found. What did Sanballat and Tobiah do? The first thing they did, they laughed at them. Here are these people. Nehemiah said, let's build a wall. And Sanballat and Tobiah got their crowd and said, yeah, you're going to build a wall, you bunch of slaves. You got this fellow going to slave for 70 years. Oh, Nehemiah, been up there in Babylon, going to come back and get you a bunch of poor little slave people and build a wall back. They laughed at us when we said we were going to build Hammond Baptist High School, too. I went down the other day and talked to the editor of the Hammond Times. Reminded him that the building is no longer abandoned. No longer abandoned. An attorney came to my office, a nice fella, came to my office and said, you can't do it. I said, why? He said, there's got to be some law against it. What is it? I don't know, but it's got to be. He said, you can't do it. I said, why? He said, you just can't. I said, why? He said, because it's never been done. I said, that's not enough. But it's out there. All the bills are paid. Aren't they? All the bills are paid. It's out there. Well, Sanballat and Tobiah, first they laughed. They laughed. People laughed. When God began to do something, the emissaries of hell come and say, yeah, Baptists, those poor Baptists, yeah, poor Baptists. But then there's something else. It says they despise them. They despise them. But I like what Nehemiah said to Sanballat and Tobiah. They said, and I quote, we will build the wall. Let us arise and build. Now, let me say this. How we treat Sanballat and Tobiah will determine the lives of these kids that are over here, and all our kids. Little boy over here, smallest kid in the front row, I guess. His life will be affected. Dennis, the boy you hold in your arms tonight, his life will largely be affected. You know, I'd hate to do anything or say anything that would cause these little boys not to have the kind of place they ought to have and not to have the opportunities they ought to have. I'd hate to do anything or say anything that would cause America not to be what she ought to be. Well, I've dedicated myself several times lately. Ask God to help me not to do or say or be anything that would block the building of the great work that God wants us to build here.
They despise them. But Nehemiah said, we will build a wall. Let us arise and build. And so in chapter 3, they started to build. In chapter 3, it's a beautiful chapter, how that this group had this part of the wall, and this group had this part, and a captain over this group, and a captain over this group, and here they are building the wall.
Then all of a sudden, Sanballat and Tobiah came up again. You never get rid of the Sanballats and Tobiahs until the wall is finished. Never do, till the wall is finished. Now, I'll show you after a while, when the wall is finished, they want to get with you and join with you in dedicating the wall. You see, after we build something, they want to steal it.
They fight what we do. They hate what we do. Listen, I know people in this church who have fought every step of the high school. And now then, boy, they're on the front row of the basketball games.
Sort of strange, isn't it? Huh?
I mean, you Sanballat, you old dirty Tobiah, I called you a bad name. And now I'm saying this. I'm saying the Sanballats and Tobiah, they fought the entire building of the wall. And when the wall was finished, they said, let's have a meeting now and go together on this thing. Let's call this the Nehemiah Sanballat Wall.
They're always there.
They came, and here the people are organized, building the wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah.
Now, bear in mind this, folks, bear in mind this, that Nehemiah didn't get in a fight with Sanballat.
When Sanballat came up and said, I tell you, yeah, you dirty folks, I despise you. Nehemiah didn't come down. So you shut your mouth.
You see, that's the way you always do it. People that get the job done for God just keep on building the wall.
Wall builders.
And so the wall kept going up. It wasn't long, they mocked them. They said, Nehemiah would say to the people something like this, praise the Lord, this wall's going up. And Sanballat and Tobiah would stand down and say, praise the Lord, this wall's going up. And the people would say, amen. And Sanballat and Tobiah would say, amen. Now, the first thing that Nehemiah wanted to do was knock the living daylights out of them. Give them a glorified punch in the puss. But you know they didn't do it. What did they do? They just kept on building the wall. Did you know wall builders don't have time to pick fights? Wall builders don't have time for little petty scraps. They're too busy building walls. Dr. Streeter, you're going to surgery someday, and here's a little child maybe here, and that child's life is in your hands. And the adeptness and the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given and will give to you, you hold in your hand the life of that little child. And somebody walks up and says, I want you to know, Mr. Streeter, I just don't care for you, doctor. Now, you don't haul off and knock the fellow in the teeth. You're too busy with the child. You're too busy building a wall.
And Nehemiah said, we'll build a wall.
They mocked them, and they called them feeble Jews.
You know, feeble Jews, a little outcast race.
But they just kept on building the wall. And then Sanballat said, you know what?
That a fox could knock down that wall you're going to build.
Now, Nehemiah didn't hire an engineer and have him measure the strength of the wall. Nehemiah just kept on building the wall. You know what I want us to do at First Baptist? I want us, listen, all the dreams of these years are coming now to fruition. I've wanted to build a school system here. We started thinking about it about eight or nine years ago.
And I felt like people have said to me all across America, if anybody in America ought to have a college, it ought to be you. It's a natural place to have the next big college in America because you have your hands on young preachers, and we do. And right here in the hands of First Baptist Church, we hold the destiny and future, not only of our own, but of the whole country.
And if we hold the destiny of the whole country, we hold the destiny of our own. God make it so when that young man surrendered to preach last Sunday night or Sunday night before last, Mark Biter. May God make it so that when he stands to preach, there'll still be an America that'll hear him preach, where he can preach in freedom. Hold it in our hands. So the Sanballats and the Tobiahs. So the Bible says, though, I like this.
As they mocked, and they said, feeble Jews, and as they said, a fox could destroy that wall.
Nehemiah said just these words, so built we the wall. So built we the wall. And then, the next thing they did, they decided to fight.
Sanballat and Tobiah went around, and
they always lurk in the shadows, always do lurk in the shadows. And they went around and they started talking. And they said, "Look, let's get together and fight this crowd. They're gonna build this wall, and we've destroyed this wall. We've destroyed these gates, and let's fight these people." And so he gathered a crowd and began to fight the work of God. And what happened to the Jews? They kept on building. But there's something that happened. They got discouraged. You know one reason why everybody needs a leader? Because people get discouraged. They just get, you heard about the little sign, everybody's seen it. Said, "I sat in my room one day discouraged and brokenhearted, and a voice came out of the blue, said, 'Cheer up, things could be worse.' And I cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse. I saw a little sign one day, it's the cutest thing I'd seen. It said, the depression didn't bother me, I was a flop during the boom." Did you know that it's easy for God's people to get discouraged? That's one reason why I think God has put a bunch of monkeys up here on the platform. To encourage you a little bit. I mean, you come and you get down the dumps. If you don't learn in the Bible, at least you laugh while you're here. Good night. Just look at him and you laugh. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying the people got discouraged. Discouraged people never get the job done for God. Years ago, I learned this. I learned you never lead people by discouragement. Well, D.B., I can recall one time when I got down the dumps a little bit and I was pastoring in Texas. I thought... So my folks got sympathetic. And I thought, man, I'm going to play on their sympathy. And I got up and I said, "I want you to know I've got a burden. I carry a heavy heart. It's not easy to carry the load of a church this size." And all of them cried, and none of them did anything anymore for God. Huh? They walked up and said, "Well, God bless you, preacher. We're behind you." And they were. But nobody did anything. You don't lead people saying, "I carry a heavy burden." What that old stuff, you say, that old dog won't hunt. What leads people? Optimism. What leads people? We're going to do it. What leads people? I can do all things. What leads people? We shall build the wall. What leads people? Let us rise and build. Why? For the sake of the little girls and boys. And so the Sanballats and Tobias tried once again to discourage him and discourage the people, but Nehemiah, and I like this, he said, "We returned everyone to his work." You know how to keep them getting discouraged? Return to your work. Return to your work. Go to work. Folks lay around. Look, did you know what? You lay around. Suppose you should have took tomorrow off. You know what you'd do? First thing you do is begin to think about income taxes. Did you know that last week, one day last week, was the 14th of May? 10th of May. The 10th of May was the first day that you worked and made anything all year. Because it takes you through May the 9th to pay your taxes. About that. We worked all January, all February, all March, and all April, and 9 days in May before we made a dime. Now you sit around the bar and think about that for a while. Then hang around your wife, begin to sweep, run the sweeper in the room. You look up at her and say, "I think she's wrinkling. I never noticed that before." Stay busy, you won't notice it. You're going to notice your pot belly too. Now, what's the secret? Listen, busy people are always on the top. Busy people are always moving. Busy people are always building. And so Nehemiah said, "Okay, don't fight back. Don't fight with a Sanballat and Tobias. As somebody has said, don't fight a skunk. You may win the fight, but you'll stink the rest of your life." What's the secret? Just build a wall. Just build a wall. Nehemiah said, "Let's build." And Sanballat said, "Bunch of little old Jews, you can't build a school. You can't build a college. Bunch of little old fanatical, fundamental, poor Baptist people. Catholics could, but Baptists can't." Baptists were building colleges years before there ever was a Catholic. The honest truth is, they're about to go out of business. And if they weren't trying to tap the federal funds and make us pay for their colleges now, they'd go out of business. Talk about getting mad. Boy, that burns my hide. What they're trying to do is steal our money. Young folks, you listen to me. You sit still while I'm preaching. Trying to build your future and help you. And you behave yourselves. I'm weary of Catholics trying to pressure. They will go out of business and threaten, holding over the head of our government and of our school system the fact we'll close the doors of our schools, and everybody knows they've got so many schools, our public schools can't house them, and what are they going to do? They're going to steal your money and mine to pay for those schools. That's what they're going to do, and that's as dirty as the devil can be. If I don't like it, then you just lump it the best way you can.
long as there be a Hammond Baptist High School, as long as there is a Hammond Baptist Elementary School, we'll never, if God will give us wisdom and strength, we'll never dip into federal money to have to run it. We'll, as God's redeemed people, we'll pay our own way. God pity the Catholics and give them enough courage to do the same thing. You're against the Catholics. I'm against anybody that bribes the government for support. That's our thought for today. Now, don't go home. I got a few more. They just kept on building. Bible, Nehemiah said, we've returned every man to his own work. We're going to build a wall. Sanballat, you tried to discourage us. We'll keep on building. You tried to fight us. You gathered yourself an army to fight against it. We'll keep on building. Sanballat, you tried to ridicule us. We'll keep on building. Sanballat, you've mocked us. We'll just keep on building. Sanballat, you've laughed at us. We'll just keep on building. Every man returned to his own work. Our nation is saved. It'll be because we have some churches that do the work for God. Dr. Billings, our nation has never needed what you're doing right now like it needs it now. I rejoice when I think, as I'm across the country preaching somewhere, I rejoice that you're across helping somebody start a Christian school to teach decency and patriotism and the Word of God to our young people. America's got to be saved. And tonight, in this room, I believe with all of my heart, the hope for America says we've got to build the wall. Got to do it. That every man had a sword by his side, but he kept building the wall. And it said, Nehemiah said, the work is great and large. Then he said, so we labored in the work. The wall went up. Sanballat and Tobiah started looking, and Sanballat said, Toby. He said, what is it, Sandy? This is all in the Hebrew. He said, you know what I believe? I believe they're going to do it. Sandy said, I've been thinking the same thing. I believe those Baptists are going to build that wall. You know, we've laughed at them. They kept on building. They didn't even bother to listen to us. We ridiculed them, and they just kept on building. We went around and caused them trouble, and then the next thing they did, they attacked Nehemiah. You know what they did? They started spreading a rumor around that Nehemiah wanted to be king. And they thought if they could get this rumor spread around that Nehemiah wanted to be king, that then the people would forsake the wall, and because the king would kill Nehemiah for treason. Nehemiah didn't want to be king. And so Sanballat and Tobiah looked up at the wall and saw those people, and they said, look, we tried everything. We fought the people, and they kept on building. We've mocked, they kept on building. We've laughed, they kept on building. We've ridiculed, they kept on building. We've gossiped, they kept on building. We have meddled, they've kept on building. We've stirred strife, they've kept on building. Say, I think they're going to build that wall. And Sanballat said, Tobiah, I don't know what let's do. Let's join up with them. And so a message was sent up on the wall, and I like this. Nehemiah was up on the wall, and was up on the wall, building. This is not a wall, but up on the wall, building. And don't criticize me for standing in a chair. Billy Sunday used to break them. And Ma Sunday used to tell me that they, in every meeting Billy had, they provided Billy with one empty chair where nobody sat, because that was his average number to break every service. Sanballat, or Nehemiah is up on a wall. And Sanballat says, they're almost finished with that thing. Hey, what let's do? Let's send a message up there, and let's tell them we want to have a meeting and join up with them. That's one way we can do it. If we can't lick them, join them. And so a message is sent up to Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets that message up on the wall. Oops, and he almost falls off the wall. When he gets that message, it shocks him. And Nehemiah, and the message says, Dear Nehemiah, Dr. Nehemiah, we have been noticing the great work that you have been doing. You dirty bunch of liars, you know what you've been doing. You've been trying to break the whole thing, cause trouble. You know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah sent one, he picked up his note, a pencil, and wrote one line. I
am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Isn't that great? Huh? Aren't you glad he didn't pussyfoot with those compromisers? Huh?
He said, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down.
So, then they tried one last trick. They tried gossiping, and nobody would listen because the wall was being built. And the Bible says, so the wall was finished. So the wall was finished. I want to make an announcement tonight. Everybody here that's honest and has been here very long knows this is true. I love your kids. I do. I love your kids. We've done our best to make something out of them. Let's face it. Some of you folks know that your kids are on the verge of trouble. This church has been their salvation. Many of you. Some of you know that the thing that has swung the pendulum for right for your kids has been the fact that we've loved them. I don't mean just I have, we all have. We've tried to help them. Now we come to what I think is the greatest era in our church's life. Let us arise and build. I just want to remind you tonight that the Sanballats and Tobias are still there. Sometimes they'll act spiritual, but they're still there. And they'll want to cause trouble. They'll heckle and they'll laugh. Some Sanballats and Tobias are liberals. Some are in ministerial associations. Some sit on pews in churches. Some are even in your own camp. Now the thing I want to say is, let's just build. Let's build. Won't it be a wonderful thing when we dedicate that $1 million school building? Huh? Won't that be something? $1 million school building. Dedicated. I think it'd be a wonderful thing. I'm looking forward to baccalaureate. I've always wanted to be a big shot. I have always wanted to be the guy that handed out the diplomas. And I will get to do that. Little old me. You're going to say, Dr. Billings is going to say, except you're nicer than this. He's going to say, Isles. And he's going to be dressed in a kimono. And I'm going to have one on, too. I mean, just like they have downtown, in the city. And we're going to pass out the diplomas. When we do, we're going to cry a little bit. Oh, it's been 12 years. Isn't it significant that the first graduating class of Hammond Baptist High School started in the first grade? Remember, I became your pastor. Gone through the whole school grades. 12 years. I mean this when I say I've carried your kids on my heart. I've prayed for them and I've loved them. Now to me, the fruition and the fulfillment of dreams for these years is about to become a reality. I don't wonder anything. Cause them not to have what they ought to have. My country tonight. I'm just sick of it. I'm just sick about America. The other night, I was sitting, where was I? I was I think it was in Portland, Oregon. I sat there beside the bed, and I was a little lonesome anyway. And I got thinking about America. I thought now for 12 years, or these many years now, I've been traveling across this country trying to help save this nation. I mean, I was thinking today, it's almost like a... So you're almost like a machine. I go to the airport and get out and walk up. All we do, right? That's it.
Say, boy, you get to see the country. All I see is an airport and a smoky airplane and an auditorium and a motel room. I was sitting there the other night, and somebody came on television and said, President Nixon is softening the policy toward Red China, and our government is considering changing her policy about the admission of Red China to the United Nations. And I began to cry like a baby, and I said, that's not fair. Not fair.
I've given my life, much of it, trying to stir the preachers and stir the churches and save the nation. I think that if President Nixon bows and kowtows to Red China, I think he has become a traitor of America. He's betrayed those of us who voted and have helped and prayed and been for him and tried to help him and tried to pray him into paying office, many of us.
I got to thinking just what's going to happen to America.
Here we are playing ping pong with the people who are killing our boys. I love my country. I mean this, and I'm about through. I believe tonight, hope for America. Auditorium. Maybe I'm blowing it up. I don't think I am. I think there are no people in this world tonight. Listen, America needs, quickly, a college train our preachers practically on how to get the job done with a lot of the excess baggage kicked off. I mean some crash courses. We've done more with preachers in 5-day pastor schools than most colleges have in 4 years. We need somebody to build a college that casts aside the frills and says to these preachers, we're going to load your gun and get you ready for battle and show you how to build a church and show you how to win souls and spread you across this country like a great network of churches and call America back to God and build churches on every corner and every village and hamlet and countryside and city in America and build schools and build bus ministries and call America back to God. It can be done. If it is done, the only way it's going to be done, I believe, is through the ministry and the influence of the First Baptist Church of Heaven. God pity me if I had to do anything to stop it. God pity you. Let us build. Let us build. See, preacher, I'm tired. Okay, I am too, but let us build. This building caught on Friday night. We'd grab our loved ones and our children, pull them to safety and rush back and get others. Matters not who's tired. Matters not who's weary. There's a burning building. Inside that building are those we love, our own. We must go and pull them and go and pull them and go and pull them and go and pull them. Sure, we get tired of fighting the battle. Of course we do. This is no time to stop. Let us arise and build. Up in Boston, years ago, a story took place, or something took place that moved my heart. Ship went out of Boston Harbor. True story. Began to sink. Hundreds were dying. Young man on the shore swam best he could. Excellent swimmer. Pulled one to safety. He pulled that one to safety. Hundreds were screaming for help. Got ashore. He was tired. He went back. Got another. Heard the screams of others begging him to come back. Swam to safety. He saved 17 people. On the shore, they said, it's no hope. All others are gone down. Worn out. He looked up as he lapsed into temporary unconsciousness and breathed these words. Did I do my best? Did I... Yeah, America may go down. Sometimes I wonder if there's a chance in the world for it to be saved. Last word is said. The last word on the epitaph is engraved. Billings, I want to be able to say,
I did my best. I did my best.
I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fight or fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas. No! I must fight if I would deign. Increase my courage for it. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. The Bible says, all. All. Do our best. Boy, now you're trying to stay awake, needs us. Good boy, he's fought a battle tonight. He's won. He hadn't gone to sleep. Some of you deacons lost, but he won. To him, I've been preaching 3 days and a half. Remember? Yeah. But he's won. He's a good boy. Here's the best. Tonight, I want to say this. And I'm through. I want to build a wall. I want to see a $1 million school. I want to see a senior citizen's home. I want to see 10 schools all over this area. I want to see a college. Oh, I don't want to start a college. I just want to save America. That's all. In other words, I want to do my best. Won't you join me tonight by saying in your own heart, not for Jack Iles. Good night. That's not it. He missed the whole deal. I doubt if you know how much I love you, kid. I doubt if anybody knows the tears I've shed in these 12 years. I've taken my four and put them right beside yours. Loved yours like I've loved my own. Let us arise. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I see tonight an old building the Hammond Times called abandoned. I see junk all over the floors. I see every window almost broken out. I see those old restrooms, filthy and dirty. I see that old school abandoned. I see tomorrow morning that school clean. Of course, it's young people that God ever made walking down those halls. I see preachers going out being trained from this place all over the country. I see churches being built like this all across America. Now listen with heads bowed. Every person in this room tonight holds the reality of the fulfillment of that dream in his hand. Let us arise. Maybe tonight you have let Sanballat and Tobiah discourage you. Maybe tonight you've heard the laughter and the mocking of Sanballat and Tobiah. Maybe tonight you become weary in the battle. Maybe tonight you've said, I'll quit my Sunday school class, a bus route. Or I won't take a bus route. Or I won't support it. Maybe tonight you ought to just get back on the wall. Get back on the wall. You say, preacher, I saw Sanballat and Tobiah and I told them off. Oh, don't waste your time. We're too busy wall building. We've got a wall to build. Don't worry about Sanballat and Tobiah. Just keep on building the wall. That's what they did. They just kept building the wall. Just kept building the wall. Just kept building the wall. That's what they did. Maybe tonight, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but you ought to come to the altar, kneel, and pray. Doesn't matter why, but you ought to come. If you're not building as you should,
Maybe you've joined up with Sanballat and Tobiah. Maybe you ought to come and, whatever it is. Or maybe you just want to come and pray, God bless the future of our church, our nation, and our children. Let us arise and build. Let us arise and build. Let us arise and build. Oh, the wall was finished. Tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ, we have you in mind. That's what we operate here for. Were there no hell, we'd have no church here. Were there no hell, we'd have no schools. Were there no hell, we'd have no invitations. Were there no hell, we wouldn't spend all this money trying to reach folks for Christ. Tonight, if you're not saved, wouldn't you love to come down these aisles and receive Christ as Savior? Wouldn't you? Or tonight, if you're saved but not baptized, wouldn't you love to obey Christ in baptism and with us arise and build? Maybe you'd like to join the church that's going to arise and build. That membership tonight, if God speaks to your heart about it, I hope you will. We stand and sing. If you want to come, just kneel here at the altar. It's yours. Use it. If you want to come for salvation or baptism or church membership, you come. Meet me at the altar. I'll meet you at the front. I hope you'll come. Father, bless the invitation. May we arise and build. May all the dreams and hopes, not for a big school building, not for a big college, not for 10 schools, ways to make our choices, ones, our children, what they ought to be. Arise. Who cares about the wall? We want the security of the citizens. That's all. The wall is only a means to an end. The security of the citizens is the end. And dear God, you know that the school and all the rest of it only means to an end. The end. The light is the light in the lives of these, our own. Help us to arise and build. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand, please? As you need to come, you come. As the choir sings, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Leave your seat if you ought to come. And the altar's yours. If you need to come for salvation, baptism, or church membership, I'll meet you here at the front. Won't you come while we sing?